If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn one last time, and I promise you this, it'll be one last time to Mark chapter 13. All right, for those that may be visiting today, I have been preaching through the Gospel of Mark for about 2 years, and this is kind of the wind-up message, and we've been looking at a 4 or 5 part series on the end times and using the launching point from Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, and what we've done over the last several weeks, we've looked at the positive signs, the positive trends that indicate the Lord's return is clear, and we looked at that, seeing some great things that are happening on the earth that indicate God's about to send Jesus to the earth. And then we looked at 2 messages on signs related to Israel as well as to the Jewish nation, and that was phenomenal as we saw not just sign trends, but sign events, specific events that point to the fact that Jesus' return is getting closer. And then last Sunday and this Sunday, I get to preach the yucky messages, okay? And those are the negative sign trends. And that's typically what most people focus on, are the negative sign trends, the really bad stuff that indicate the Lord's about to return. And again, a trend is something that you can look at over 20, 50, 100 years and absolutely see it's clear that the Lord is about to return. And so in Mark chapter 13, he says probably a half a dozen times as Jesus is referring to his returning, in verse 33, he says, "And since you don't know when that time, when I will return, will come, be on guard, stay alert," or as some translations say, "watch and pray." Say that with me, watch and pray. As I mentioned last week, he didn't say glance and pray, like, oh yeah, it's over there. Or, no, he said watch, look. And that watching and praying is not just for yourself, it is for those around you. It's for other Christians so that you can encourage them. Look, here's some things that are happening. Don't get discouraged right now as hardship comes, as persecution happens, as difficulty begins to press in more personally in our lives. We then have the opportunity to encourage our brothers and sisters. Watch and pray. It's for ourselves, it's for others, because this will be a time where there will be great offense that will happen all over the world towards God and specifically towards Jesus. And its focal point will be those sitting in this room today, as well as every other Christian. Friend, we are living in a time when it is very clear the Lord's return is close just because of the persecution factor that's going on. And so last week we looked at a number of things. We looked at this one right here on the screen, that lawlessness would abound. I talked about that. Briefly, I mentioned about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and I'll get back to that, but I kind of felt like I needed to start right here. And that's the persecution. This, again, is a trend that we are seeing in our day, a trend over 100 years that is becoming more and more clear that things are escalating as the Lord is about to return. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. And Jesus says these words, and by the way, we have Bibles there in front of you. You're welcome to take one home if you want. They're being given as a blessing to you, but certainly look at them. Matthew 24, verse 9, "And then you," say you. Turn to somebody and say you. You. That's who he's talking about, you. Okay? He's not talking just about the disciples there in the room. He's talking about us. "Then you will be arrested." Read it with me. What do your translations say? Just read it together. "Will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. And you will be hated all over the world. You." I was talking to a friend of mine, Nelson Lee, who's an airman there at the 147th that I work with. He is a house pastor, house leader. He has 300 house churches that he's working with. Most of them are in India, some are in Pakistan. He pulled up a picture and he showed me one of his house church pastors, throat slit, dead on the road because of his faith in Jesus. I happened to walk into his room and while Nelson and his office there at the base, and he was just crying, and he said, "Oh, Scott, I'm so glad you're here." He said, "I just got a call from one of my house church pastors. He said, I haven't heard from him in 3 days. He was going before a judge, and a judge who hates Christians. And they had brought charges against him about converting people. And he may be thrown in prison, and we'll never hear from him again. Now, the good news is just 2 days ago, Nelson called me and said, Scott, we heard from him and they released him and he's okay. But also in that conversation, he said, Scott, he said, they just endure so much persecution. He said, read this email I just got. I read the email there on Nelson's computer. It was from one of those church pastors who said, a young lady that we have led to faith in Christ, her family is now so angry at us, they've told us they're going to burn our house down right now. Right now. Since June 30th, that's 2 days ago, here's some headlines. In Sweden, priests are told they must marry same-sex couples or, quote, find another job. Another article on June 30th. Assaults on religious freedom are not in your head. The article goes on to say, it's documented incidents of hostility to religion in the U.S. shows a 76% increase in the past 3 years. And finally, this one, another article says, some of Christianity's most respected ministries are now on a notorious progressive hate list just for their stand for biblical marriage. That's here. That's now. That's like yesterday. You will be persecuted. Paul says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. It's a promise. He gave you a promise. And the promise is, if you're going to stand for truth, live a righteous life, stand up for Jesus, you will be persecuted. Now, I want you to listen. Again, a trend that we're seeing, something that we can look at over 100 years and say, wow, that's escalating. Jesus talked about this trend in Revelation chapter 6. He gave this revelation to John. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says this, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw those who had been slain for the word of God. Now, he's talking about the people that had been slain in the end times, standing for Jesus. They cried saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? It was said to them that they should rest until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. There will be an escalation of martyrdom. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia in 2001, the number of martyrs over the first 1,900 years of recorded church history was 25 million. 25 million believers from AD 33 until 1900 died because of their faith in Jesus. Since 1900 to 2000, 45 million Christians have died for their faith. Jesus said, before I return, it will get hot and heavy, and you will have to make a stand. There will also be, because of that, a falling away from the faith, which is the next point. If you have your Bibles, turn to Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And Paul says, don't be fooled by what they say. That's people who say Jesus had already returned, okay? He said, don't be fooled by that. For that day, that is the day of the Lord's return, will not come until there is a great, the New Living Translation says rebellion. Other translations say falling away. That is, people have turned from the faith. They have rebelled against God, and the man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist, we believe, is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Jesus and Paul prophesied that before he returned, there would be a great falling away from the faith. And I don't think it's just going to immediately happen once the Antichrist appears. There will be a slide toward it right now. And in fact, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn again to Matthew chapter 24. I should have had you stay there. 24 verses 10 through 12. The following verses. He said, because of that persecution, essentially in verse 10, he says, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know you're going to a lot of Bible verses, but you need to know where they are. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, say clearly with me. Clearly. That is, you just need to really know this. This isn't going to be ambiguous. It's going to be seen by all. He tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachers that come from, and teachings that come from demons. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. He's clear. There is a time of deception, there is a time of falling away, and we are absolutely seeing it. We are seeing it today in droves of people just falling away from the faith. Many intentionally. We see massive denominations, some of the largest denominations that have ever existed, religious organizations that have ever existed, now dwindling in numbers, and in part it is because they have continued to deny the Word of God. They've denied that faith is only in Jesus Christ. They have denied the blood of Jesus, his physical returning, his resurrection from the dead. They deny the Scripture. They deny the sanctity of marriage as defined in the Bible. They defy Jesus' own sexual ethic, the things that he talks of how this is how sex is supposed to be expressed. They deny these things. And we are seeing people not only denying the Lord, but we're seeing people just drifting away from the Lord just because of the culture that we live in today. The busyness, the worry, the stress, the fear, just the stuff of life. People are just being swept away. I mean, I've said it before, you could probably look around this room and see people, notice there's some people that aren't here anymore. Why aren't they here? A few have gone to other churches, but many just have just gone by the wayside. We're seeing it in our day, this massive falling away. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you, here is going to be the deal for everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. Will you stand for Jesus in this hour? Will you stand for Jesus? Will you hold on to His truth? And despite what the teachers and the doctors and the professors and all the smart people and all the rich people and all the influential people and the actors and actresses, despite what the news reporters may say, will you stand for Jesus and His truth? And will you do it like a Christian and not like a Texan? Because Texans, we will stand for truth, right? With our gun cut quietly hidden away, you know? But let's stand for Jesus with the heart of Jesus. Amen? With the very heart of Jesus. Look, folks, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians, turn there. I'm going to say there may be, I'm exaggerating when I say this, but this is a really important scripture. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Here's why they fall away. He will use, that's the Antichrist. He's going to use counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction. They are on their way to destruction. Why are they on their way to destruction? They have fallen away. Why have they fallen away? Because, whatever your translations are, read it with me, because what? They refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. The truth hits them straight in the face. They say, I don't want that. I don't like that. I'm going to heap up to myself, as people are doing today. heaping up to themselves, teachers are saying exactly what they want to hear. I mean, we're seeing this huge sexual revolution, this huge marital thing that's going on in our country. In 20 years, we've just seen this thing, this tide come in on this nation. People just get swept away. Now, people that are standing for biblical truth and say, you know what, this is what we've always believed. Jesus didn't change. Jesus did not change. And people are saying, you're wrong. Not only are you wrong, but you hate people. And you're not standing for truth. You're standing for division. They're now turning it back on us. He said, look, it's going to get to that point. Will you stand for my truth? Will you stand with the truth? Look, as we consider the times of Noah and the times of Lot, these were times filled with great immorality and great violence. And folks, we're living in those days. I've got a lot that I could say on that, but I'm not going to spend much time on it. But just let me just suffice it to say, talks about in Luke chapter 17, this thing I mentioned last week. In Luke 17, verses 26 through 28, it says on the screen there, as it was in the days of Noah, read it with me, let's continue, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. That's talking about his second return. Likewise, as was also the eight sold. And the point that Jesus is making is this, is while this great, in Genesis 9, it's very clear, Genesis 6, it's very clear that the world was filled with violence. Violence was everywhere. And folks, I'm telling you what, we live in a violent age. A violent age. You look at the numbers of people that have been killed because of wars and because of mass murder or genocide. Those numbers, at minimum, I'm talking about wars, mass murders like Stalin's purges, the Cultural Revolution in China, and then the genocide that's happening and continues to happen around the world, and then the major wars that have taken place. You're talking at a minimum in the 20th century, 320 million people killed. That's at a minimum. That's a big number. Now look at this number. You add in the number of abortions since 1920 to 2000, 500 million abortions. That's 820 million people killed. Murder, violence, genocide, whatever, at a minimum. We are living in the most violent age there ever has been. And what was going on in Noah's day, what were the people doing? While this violence was escalating around the world, it wasn't like there was just some mob activity over here. It was happening everywhere. What were people doing? Just doing life. Eating, drinking, giving in marriage, all that stuff, never even touching their own conscience. I'm telling you, folks, this stuff needs to touch us. And then the time of immorality. The time during Sodom and Gomorrah, the same things. We look at the massive amount of pornography that's going out over our planet. I preached a message, if you weren't here, it's back in March or April, something like that. You can go back to our website or our Facebook page and listen to it or watch it, download the notes. You're talking about, Matt, we are doing a cultural experiment with pornography on a scale no one has ever seen before. Through the phone, literally, through the phone, all around the world, people of all ages have access to the hardest pornography that mankind's ever known. We're talking about kids all the way to senior adults. A worldwide experiment. And it's causing massive amount of perversion. As I talked about in that message, the power of pornography, what it does, changes the mind. It changes how we interact with people. It changes how we view people. It changes how we do life in a very perverse way. As I pointed out in that message a couple of months ago, there were just within 2 weeks of that message, there were three sexual assault charges brought against individuals within our county. All of it, I say this, all of it directly linked to pornography. There is a direct link between all sexual assault and sexual harassment and pornography. That's what science points out. And since that time, I don't know if you've read the facts, that's our local paper, but the facts since then, there's been at least three other sexual assault charges brought against people. Where's it come from? It's perversion. We also see, not only with pornography, but also with the entire issue related to marriage and God's definition of what marriage is and sexual identity. God has made it clear in these areas, folks. God hadn't redefined anything, okay? God's not redefined anything. I want to look at, hey, people, God's really, really complex, okay? Really complex, all right? We all know that. I mean, he thinks in ways we don't think. But when it comes to human sexuality and marriage, God made it real easy and real clear. One man and one woman committed to one another in a marital relationship. That's it. That's God's will. That's God's best. It's how God established it in the Garden of Eden. It's how the law of Moses described it. It's what Jesus supported in the Gospels. And it is what is illustrated when he returns as the groom. He's returning for who? His bride. We accept people where they are. Amen? Amen? Amen. We do. We really do. We accept people exactly where they are. In their struggles, in their brokenness, in their weakness, we accept them where they are. But we call them to what God says is best. Amen? Just as it is for me. He accepts me where I am, but he calls me to what is best. And people may struggle with that for a lifetime. They may struggle with their identity and their sexuality for a lifetime. And God bless them and God help them, and he can. But we just can't give in to people's struggle and just say, well, it's okay for you. Friend, I want to tell you, any man here has a struggle with sexuality, okay? And keeping their mind pure and their body pure. We don't just give in to that as men. We do what is best, what God calls us to do is best. And then finally, there's this, and I'm not going to spend any time on this today, but there is a move. At some point, there will be a move towards one world religion. All of these things, as hard and as negative and as yucky as all this stuff is, in fact, say yuck with me, yuck. Don't you just feel like, man, I need a bath now, okay? I just kind of need a bath. Boy, that was yucky. It is. It's yucky. But you know what it's an indication of? He's getting closer. He's getting closer. He's about to return. At some point, it's just getting closer. The good stuff is getting better. As Isaiah 60 said, the light is getting brighter, but also the darkness is getting darker. But it is all indicated that he is about to return. I want the worship team, if y'all would come forward and get ready. I want you, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Last week I asked you this question, are you prepared? Are you prepared? We talked about this. I used this illustration of the marriage. I used Karen Wilfred last week. And she's getting married this Saturday. We're excited. But Mackenzie Elrod, she's getting married in a couple of weeks. Mackenzie, where are you? Raise your hand. Where are you? I saw you somewhere.
To the left. To the left.
Where is she?
To the left.
To the left. Back over here. She's getting married in 2 weeks. And on that wedding day, she wants to be prepared. Amen? You want to be prepared, Mackenzie? Amen. She's going to be prepared. She wants to be prepared. And as the bride of Christ, we ourselves need to be prepared. Amen?
Yes.
We need to be prepared. Not just watching, but living a pure life, telling others about the Lord, doing what is right in his eyes, speaking truth, having, you know, pure thoughts, all those good things, preparing ourselves so that when we see him, we know that we've given our best to him. But now the question that I have for you today is this, is not, are you prepared? But will you stand for truth? Will you stand for truth? Are you willing to put Jesus first in everything? Are you willing to place him first before your family? Before what your kids may say, or even grandkids? Will you place him first before your retirement plan? Your 401k, I'll stand with him and give that thing away. Will you put him first in your job, before your spouse? Will you stand with Jesus? Will you be like Jesus? Let's stand together. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to hype this thing up, but we can't be like the people of Noah's day or Lot's day who just sort of let life happen and judgment was at their doorstep and they didn't even see it. We have to be people that will stand for truth in the spirit of Jesus. And the words of Jesus to all of us are found in Matthew chapter 5. He says this, God blesses those, verse 10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you. And they say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be happy. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. And Father, today, as we're about to sing this song, asking that you bless America, we sing it fully, completely, entirely. We want you to bless this nation. And we want this nation to return to you and to return to its foundations of faith in Jesus, of a biblical standard. But Lord, we will say this, if this nation doesn't, we're still following you. We will stand with you in the hour of trial, in the hour of difficulty. We will place you first in every place, before our families, before our job, before our comfort, before our retirement. We will place you first because you've just told us here, great is our reward. And we thank you, Lord, that our reward is so much greater than anything that this earth could offer. We bless you this day. And everybody said, amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing this song. And after we sing it, then you're dismissed. And let me just give you this. If you're here for the first time, and I'd like to meet with you. We've got a small gift that we want to provide you. And if you need prayer, our prayer team and deacons, they're going to be down front to pray with you.